This morning, we celebrate with the Maronite Church throughout the world this Feast of Martyrs. It was the middle of the 1800s. Syria was persecuting the Christians in Lebanon, and these martyrs, many of them, even some whose names we do not know, fled to Damascus and were chased, hunted down there, and killed before the altar in the church at Damascus. It strikes me as we celebrate this feast and keep alive their memory that it's not just a story of the past. And so as we gather today in commemorating these martyrs, we must gather together the martyrs who will die today for their faith in Jesus Christ, who died yesterday, for the violence that marks this memory 150, 200 years ago, continues to this day. And so we make ourselves one with them, and we pray for those who even this day will give their lives for the holy name of Jesus Christ. We pick up this gospel from Matthew, and it's almost impossible to get to the point of the episode of Matthew's gospel because of that verse about unforgivable sin. I can't tell you how many times in my 48 years as a priest, people have come to talk about this unforgivable sin, either because they're intellectually curious or because they're frightened and ridden with guilt. Countless good people have tormented themselves unnecessarily by the thought that they might be guilty of the unforgivable sin. Now, as a wise preacher once said to those who worry about the unforgivable sin, the truth is they can't possibly be guilty of it if they're worried about it. That wise preacher is standing here, okay? Don't ask me who it is later. The whole point is that if you are aware that you are a sinner, then you don't have anything to worry about. That's the problem here. At that point, when you recognize that you're a sinner, the mercy of God takes over, and then there's always hope. So at least you forget about the unforgivable sin. You're awake, you have faith, and you know the mercy of God. Now, once that's out of the way, there's a lot more serious business going on in this gospel. Remember that at that time, at the time of Jesus, every illness was thought to be the consequence of sin and Satan. So the work of Jesus, his healing and liberation, is always cast in the sense of a great battle with Satan, which is exactly what is and why this controversy gets started in this episode. When it comes to facing off with evil, sin, or Satan, call it what you will, Jesus makes it clear there is no neutrality. There are only two sides. You're either in the fight with Jesus or you're against him. There's no middle ground. There are no bystanders in this battle. You have to take a side. Not taking a side is, in a sense, then to choose. When it comes to our life in the church, the same thing holds true. If your presence does not strengthen the church, then your absence weakens it. This is not a rest stop. There isn't one. It's been proposed that there are three things that cause people to seek neutrality. There are people in this world who just want to be left alone. Their lives are marked by absolute inertia. They shrink away from anything that disturbs them in any way. There are also people who are simply cowards by nature, because fear rules their lives. Most of all, they're always concerned and rule by what other people think of them or may say about them. To them, the voice of a neighbor is louder than the voice of God. Finally, there are people who simply avoid adventure and prefer the security of the way things are. They want things predictable, which really means they want them under their control. Forget about God's control, okay? So the older they grow, the more it is so. Following Christ and conforming one's life to Christ Jesus is always going to be and mean an adventure. It will always mean someone's going to be talking about you. But it also means you're never going to be alone. God will be speaking. For those grounded in the sayings of Jesus, this quotation today seems on the surface to contradict what Mark and Luke have written when Jesus says the reverse. Whoever's not against us is with us, is what it says in Luke and in Mark. But those sayings focus on the other. In other words, it's outside of oneself. In this instance, when it's Matthew writing, then the focus is on me. It's not about others. Today, this gospel presents a test for us. Shuffling through life, avoiding conflict, hiding behind a shallow neutrality on issues of morality and justice will not do. There's a challenge in this gospel for everyone who hears the word and hears the call of Jesus to bring in a harvest for the kingdom of God. Whoever is not with us is against us. We have to take a side. And there'll be consequences now and in the days to come. The martyrs we remember today took a side. They paid the consequences. They stand as a model for us all. You have to choose. There's no way out. There's no way to make the sign of the cross and not make the choice. Let us pray.